Live and learn.
Live and learn.
Season 6, it's all around living and learning together and getting inspired.
Whenever you think it is appropriate for you to see the depths of growth mindset, the depths of live and learn philosophy, just join and enjoy. So welcome to our season 6, live and learn with us.
Live and learn.
Hi, hi, how are you doing? What's new around you?
Well, not knowing when the podcast episode is going to be released, as we've got lots of things to discuss, and then our content planning is quite dense and interesting. Lots of things are going on, lots of topics to discuss. And I'm really attracted to everything that we are discussing, and just thinking about how to put it all into one season so that we have all the content together, and then thinking how to organize the playlist and to play around the topics, etc.
Which I am so thankful to you for doing this. This is an absolute pleasure, seeing how carefully you are putting the episodes into the string of the season and the seasons bring together. So this is the production and creating the audio files and their logics is all your contribution, to which I thank you and say kudos to you. Thank you very much.
And we're in this together.
When we're recording this, it is quite gray and rainy outside. You know, this kind of weather where you don't want to go out. You want just to cover yourself, stay, like, you know, bake some cookies, have some milk, some hot milk, and, you know, enjoy the weekend. The week, though, was quite an extensive one, a very full packed, and not much sun whatsoever here in Berlin, but I really have the sunbeams of beautiful emotions that pierce through the gray weather and gray clouds. So, for example, one gloomy morning when I was a little bit like taking some efforts to start the day with a beautiful smile, and I received a message from one of my ex-students, ex-clients. We worked together for quite a long time together, but I haven't seen this person, I don't know, for 3 or 4 months now. And out of nowhere, I just received a recommendation on LinkedIn. Can you imagine? So a couple of sentences or paragraphs that immediately boosted my dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin levels. Just, you know, a boost of rewarding feeling of having this beautiful sense of support, which comes without knowing that it's coming right now. So that was a beautiful feeling. And I think the more we're sending these outwards, the more beautiful the world is becoming. So it's so nice to say thank you to people around for what they are doing, how they are, you know, dealing with every situation, and how we appreciate them. Nice to think, you know, just like a paid forward, sunbeams in such a gloomy weather, it was a beautiful thing for me. Another sunbeam that I received over the week, Google Scholar notified me of an abstract being uploaded to the network. That was one of the students that we had back in Kiev when we were teaching them bachelor's master. So I remember the person who has now submitted the PhD thesis for publication and is getting the dissertation defense like somewhere very close these days. Was one of our students from the department and then became a teacher at this department, and now she is finishing the PhD school. And it was such a pleasure to read her abstract, to read her manuscript, to see how the thought, the thinking is maturing and is following the logics and creating the research and analyzing the research, answering the hypothesis that she made in her thesis. It's such a beautiful thing, because I do remember her master thesis and bachelor thesis. So it's kind of very, again, rewarding feeling to see how people grow around, even though I haven't seen this person for 4 years now, but I still have such a warm and beautiful feelings toward that. So I congratulated her on finalizing her manuscript, and it's sheer pleasure to see people finalizing such a huge part of their life. Yeah, so you should have seen her abstract.
Oh yeah, and then you say finalizing a huge part of their life, and then abstract, which is actually a shortly put idea of a thesis in this case. And actually, a minute of Leighton. In the beginning, I said I was attracted by compiling the content of our podcast episodes and seasons. And now you mentioned the thesis abstract. These are the words that have the same root, which is tract, draw. And if in attraction, it's being drawn towards something or somebody, then abstract is taking away the main idea from something bigger, or drawing the main idea of something. Then there is another word with the same root, if we think about it, that we use on a daily basis, and that's contract, that pulls people together, yeah, or draws us together when we decide to work on a common topic or work together, collaborate. Collaborate is another Latin word, and we've discussed it already. But yeah, contract. So we are drawn together.
It's such a beautiful thing, you know, to know this Latin thing, because it makes things clearer how the families of the words, or the nests, the word nests are growing from the same roots. So, you know, this wholeness and
wholeness, and then an extract from something whole. Yeah, when we want to, I don't know, to make tea of an extract, or using an extract of some essence or something.
Yeah, that's true. So attract, contract, contract. To contract, extract, to extract, yeah, attraction.
Yeah, then subtract as a mathematical term as well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is all from draw. That's interesting, yeah. You know, this is something that when we first learned the words, I don't know, when's the first time you heard the word contract, maybe, I don't know, 15 years of age, or like 12 or something like that.
Long, long, long ago. Then do you know when I realized it was actually that it had that Latin root? When I first learned this word in German, and that's Vertrag. And tragen is draw in German. And then, okay, Vortrag, Vertrag. And there are a lot of words in German with the same root that are easier to learn when you realize what they mean.
And then we're talking about the next level of this concept. When we're talking about social contract, when we're talking about psychological contract, when we're talking about, I don't know, some kind of emotional contract, we have those ideas which already grow on the level of the ideas pulling together. And then we most probably not realizing on everyday basis derivation of the word contract. By the way, UNESCO published a very long-awaited report that it made the research on the new social contract for education. UNESCO claims that if we're thinking about the future of the education, well, 2020, 2030, 2040, 2050, so what should we continue doing, what should we abandon, what should be reinvented afresh? So these are the ideas of, you know, recirculating the practices, you know, trying to give a meta-analysis or a kind of conceptual analysis. So what are we doing great as educators, as education systems, as education organizations, and how to make sure that we are trying to make this agile idea of improving in every cycle. So that was an interesting article there. So reimagining our futures together. Together, a social contract for education.
And so what's new in that social contract for education?
Educators, education scientists make it a, as they call it, long-awaited flagship publication. And so this is kind of this framework documents of, you know, calling for major transformation, calling for, in education, I mean, right? Calling for making our efforts more aligned, more directed in one way to make the future a beautiful place. What's new there? So they are trying to bring the idea of lifelong learning to become a compass, to become a norm, to become something that we expect from others. So you see, so this is kind of a, you know, what are the expectations? What are the ambitions? What are the obligations that the education system and society are trying to bring together? They're trying to underpin the human rights, you know, the inclusion, equity, cooperation, solidarity, collective responsibility, interconnectedness, all these foundational principles into all of the levels of the education, so that we are trying to, you know, in one collective move, to reestablish what do we understand by being educated, receiving an education, or taking their education, when, how, why, in a new transformed way. After such a disruption we had over the last years, I think it's an important step to contemplate and formulate what we've learned so far and what should be brought into the focus.
What I've heard so far is that finally we're not expecting to be considered educated after finishing high school, graduating from university, or whatever else level of education might be. So it's lifelong learning, finally, as the idea of education. We never stop learning, we never should stop learning, and there is never this level of education that says, okay, now you are an educated person. No, never. So it's a never-ending process, finally on paper, published. Good. I'm happy.
Yeah, so growth mindset, continuous education from teacher-driven lessons to individual accomplishment to emphasize cooperation, collaboration, and solidarity. So more and more group work, more and more collaboration skills, more and more equity, working together, uniting people, which all is quite obvious that in the era of robotization and, you know, digitalization, our individual skills and individual traits put together would bring synergy, right? So if we collaborate, you and I collaborate together and we create something bigger than any of our individual contributions, so for example, the podcast, so that would create the synergy of something bigger than you or I can do separately. This is our main weapon against the, you know, robots, apps, bots, and machine learning stuff, because so far, one application plus one application are not creating a synergy. People are creating synergy in collaboration. Hope we can learn, collaborate more effectively earlier in more levels. And this is quite a skill.
And quite a challenge, I would add, because what we see now, we are not, as humanity, we are not doing well enough. And independent on what our levels of education are, by the way, we are still not competent enough to collaborate facing real dangers. And we are still not able to, not only to collaborate, but really to remain human in collaboration, to remain human, meaning to be sensitive to others, to come closer to other people's needs, etc.
Yeah, to be empathetical, to be hearing, listening, contributing, supporting. So all of these human-centered topics are heard more and more vividly in the business environment, with now a major shift from business-centered leadership to human-centered leadership. And I was really happy to see that the same movement is going in the education on the level of the world level framework. What else they are trying to propose? This is something that I believe is seen working already and now needs to be implemented, you know, in a much wider scale, is that the grid of subjects by which the curricula are organized. So when we have separate subjects, and sometimes students are not even seeing how they are interconnected if you're not stressing it out in every second class. So the idea of creating intercultural and interdisciplinary learning is kind of not new, but it is so difficult to implement it on everyday basis if you have biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, geometry in school, or in higher education when you have different disciplines taught in different semesters by different people and so on. So they are not as much intertwined, I believe, as this framework asks it to be, and seeing how it works, right? So when we're doing an interdisciplinary project and we're accumulating all the knowledge from different spheres and areas into creating outcome which makes input, is obviously again a question of synergy of the knowledge, not only of the collaboration.
Yeah, and that's also a reflection of that disruption that we've been mentioning, because if we come back in history and recall the fact, who is as old as we are to recall, that philosophy used to be the only subject to be taught and learned. And then, of course, with the development of sciences, it all changed. Yeah, there were more and more specific subjects to be learned, investigated, and taught as different subjects, of course, because enormous information is just makes it impossible to learn it and teach it within one subject. Okay, so this separation is kind of logical, but then somehow we forget that there used to be philosophy as the only explanation, attempt to explain the world. So why are we learning all those different subjects and disciplines? Because we're trying to explain the world. We forget about it and then go deeper and deeper and deeper into each subject, specialization, different layers. Like we have, let's say, microbiology, which is so far from philosophy, if we think about it, and is so far even from general biology. But this logical development of individual sciences and specializations doesn't mean we have the right to forget what we're doing this for. Yeah, and this awareness this awareness of why and what for we are doing certain things should be there. And such contracts for the future of education make it visible once again that, guys, okay, let's now see that. Okay, when it's cool, you learn, you have a geography class, and you learn where the countries on a geographical map are, and you learn where, let's say, Iran is. And then in history lessons, you learn about Persian culture, and it doesn't come to your mind that it's the same place in different times, having different political structures, different government, different ideas, but it's the same spot on the map. Coming back to understanding this maybe makes it possible to see a bigger picture, as we often say and advise that people do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, because this all becomes this gross mindset that we need to learn more and more. There is the world is evolving in such a unimaginable speed that we need to understand as well that the knowledge that, I don't know, I received back in 2004 6 has nothing to do with the subject that I teach today. And when I am judged by the diplomas that I received, 15 years ago, it's a bit underestimating of what I have achieved over these 15 years. The very idea that I keep on learning, I keep on not only accumulating the certificates, but I keep on accumulating new knowledge, which leads me forward through passion, is now, you know, legalized, is now offered as a framework to bring the concept of thinking, the concept of education, that is not only possible beyond schools and diplomas, but also is supposed to be happening not only at certain age, but to bring these opportunities everywhere and for everyone. So we are talking now about, you know, silver generation, as we have the new terminology for the third age education. So now it's not the third force. So the idea of teaching, learning, improving, reskilling, upskilling, never-ending learning. I think that's why they're calling it a social contract, when it's not only UNESCO needs to, you know, say, okay, this is our report. Try to bring this call for re-establishing the new definition, the new meaning behind this sign, behind this concept.
Anywhere, it remains this type of a contract that is brought by someone who has a bigger picture, trying to offer it to someone who hasn't got one. Like in families, when older generations say to the younger, okay, so we've agreed that we will do like that. And this "we've agreed" actually means I propose a contract and you either agree or not, but you're supposed to agree if we want to live together in one family and to do something together. That's the contract as a manipulative kind of an agreement. Yeah, it's not really an agreement, but rather an offer. Still, it's a good offer. Why not?
It is a good offer because it brings the call for putting research and innovation in focus, for global solidarity and international cooperation, bringing the advancement in the universities not to lose its face, because recently there were a lot of philosophical ideas. Why do we need universities if the education there is, I don't know, and then you can put any kind of argument that was formulated there. So to open universities not only for students of 18 to what, 30, but also to those of every and each decade, would be a place which includes and accommodates more people, and that it's not specifically open only to those who have money, but also to bring this accessibility to those who want to study and bring it in. Otherwise, they would be just losing this idea of still being the centers of education. Yeah, so these are the ideas of the social contract call proposed by UNESCO, Future Reimagining the Future of Education. It's an interesting read. It might be, you have two or three options there. You can read a small summary, a full report, and also all the research behind. So depending how deep do you want to dive into it, feel free to join the discussions that have started a couple of weeks ago.
Or go back and read philosophy, or get deeper and dive into your sphere of professional interest, but never forget to live and learn.
Which is our live and learn philosophy. Live and learn.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you share Live and Learn philosophy, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on all the major social media, comment, and spread the word about this podcast so that more people could get their weekly portion of growth mindset content. Live and learn!